The Heart of Rural America is brought to you by the new auction platform, Bid on Beef. We invite you to buy beef the cowboy way through an honest bidding process where you have the power to pick the ranch, pick the cut, and pick the price. You are in the driver's seat, and we are excited to ship beef directly to your door. Use code WELCOME10 for your first $10 to shop when you register to bid at bidonbeef.com. Welcome to the Heart of Rural America podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Radke, an American cattle rancher and motivational speaker, raising my kids and writing children's books in South Dakota. There's a David and Goliath story unfolding in agriculture today. And I don't know about you, but my money is on the underdog, the hardworking folks who value faith, family, freedom, and their farming communities. This show will highlight the untold stories of these resilient and determined families who I have the great pleasure of meeting in my travels across this nation as an agricultural speaker. It is my hope that their stories will remind us to live with great courage because we are not alone in this fight to keep producers on the land and meat, dairy, and eggs on the dinner table. Now let's hit the dusty trail together as we uncover the heart of rural America.
Welcome to your show. Here's my mom, Amanda Radke.
Hey everyone, it's Amanda Radke back for another episode of the Heart of Rural America podcast, the show where we highlight great people doing inspiring things in their rural communities to make this country and agriculture stronger. Today's guest, you know him and love him. He's a regular featured guest around here. He is just coming off the tail end of a busy sale season in the Angus world. Chris Earle, welcome to the show.
Hey, Amanda.
It's always great when we get a chance to sit down to visit. If folks don't know, Chris Earle is the owner and founder of CK6 Consulting. He's an owner of Reverse Rocking R Ranch, founding partner of Bid on Beef, as well as a new beef brand coming out that we'll talk about shortly. But most of all, he's a dear friend, mentor, and one of those guys in the cattle business that truly is boots on the ground, rooting for the American Angus cattle producer in this country. So Chris, you're just coming off a big sales season, 25 million in sales. You've traveled coast to coast in every state of the country, or basically, what are you seeing out there in the countryside coming off this sales season?
Coming off at the end of it, Amanda, it was a long one, but I probably felt more inspired at the end of the season than I did going into it. And I was very optimistic about it going in. But just to see the aggressiveness that the marketplace was putting on genetics and owning the good ones and really separating themselves, I think was exciting to be part of. And then you throw into the fact that a lot of these clients of ours that we've been with for a long time, to see the successes that a lot of them had this winter and spring, it's just very rewarding. You know, I always tell there's a big difference between being happy and being joyful. And it was a joyful spring. Joy comes when you watch other people have successes and you kind of live through them. And just to watch some of these clients just have fantastic years and all the toil and all the risk management and all that come to fruition and come to a great year. It was just exciting to go from sale to sale and be part of it. So it was great.
Well, as I reflect on the sales season, it kind of started, there was kind of a shift in the mentality. I think if we go back to November at White House, Texas, with the Duval family there, it was right after the election. And it felt like the crowd was like, they were on the edge of their seats, ready to bid, ready to buy. I don't know. I kind of kept thinking, oh, maybe this will taper off. But then we got into January and headed into Baldridge and Lynn's. And it's like, people are excited. People are pumped up. And I guess you hear the naysayers and it's like, oh, there's not enough cattle. Where are all these bulls going? What is your assessment of this? Because I know you've spoke on this. We're at the lowest cow herd in the nation since the 1960s. How are you viewing this shift and what does the outlook look like moving forward for the cattle ranchers that have been in this fight?
I've said many times before sales, and you've heard me say it, Amanda, I'm very excited for the people that have survived, that have shown grit that I think the cattle business takes to be a survivor and be successful. And the forces out there are extreme and continue to wake up every day and beat them and win in business and genetics proves to me again and again, which I've really known for 35 years, there's experts in this field and they're in the country. And there's a lot of people that don't view themselves as experts that are. And if you're a survivor at this point in this way of life, then you're an expert. That's the way I categorize it. That's the way I look at it. And I think as we go into the market, and I mean, I really do think we really need to look at, it's funny, you look at the business and the people that we serve, as in the product, are looking to buy, a lot of them are looking to buy as cheap as they can. But from our perspective, we have to get in the mindset of, we need to be paid as high as we can. Mm-hmm. And that is a real mindset change over the last 30 years, where we have been conditioned to be part of a food chain for the glory of feeding people. Mm-hmm. Look, nobody likes people more than me. I love people and I want to feed them. But gosh dang it, we've been conditioned that this thing is not our number one job. Our number one job is to run a great business. One of the main things is I want to see young people stay in this business. And guess what, Amanda? We're capitalists. We have to make money to do it. And I think the feeding part of the food chain cannot overshadow. We have to be survivable to do it. And
right.
All the forces out there continually want to beat us down. I think about this a lot. You know, they always talk about the food chain and they always talk about transparency and, you know, you got to be a seat at the table and all that. And it's exactly opposite of how I run my life in marketing. You know, in marketing, those are not good plans in marketing. Does anybody ask Nike how many shoes they got in their warehouses when they're selling them for $160 or $200 a shoe? No, we don't tell people how many cows we have. We don't have to tell people what's in our inventory. We don't have to tell people how we're going to breed these things. You just got over a huge battle on property rights in South Dakota and won because you used leverage. The rural America people that own the land, own the genetics, have leverage. And we need to learn how to use that in order to be paid as well as we can for our product. It's not greedy to do that. It's survivable to do that. And I think that's where we need to move to. So as we look at some of these things that really the masses want us to do, I think we need to take a different perspective and know that we're bringing a great product to the table and that we've put all the risk and the toil in it to get it there. We need to get paid. We need to get
right.
paid.
It is a mindset shift. And you're so good at that. You always say, you know, this cattle business is 51% people, 49% genetics. And I see that with the people you work with, the families you work with. And it's really counter to what the system is telling us, that we need to do it for the good of everybody. Well, that's socialism. That's we're all doing the same thing for efficiency's sake. You should just be happy to be a cog in the wheel. And yet you work with very established, big time national breeders. And then you work with young couples like Tyler and I that are just getting rolling. And a lot of times, I know from even when I was in college, you were basically told you're going to need to go get a corporate job. You're not going to make it in production agriculture. We were not encouraged to do that. And yet you're saying, of course you can maximize every acre, every animal you have and monetize it and market it. So I guess, you know, just kind of reflecting on Tyler and I having our first bull sale in February, and you've done a lot of work coaching us, mentoring us to get up to that stage. I guess maybe could you share a little insights of what you would tell a young couple that wants to be in the cattle business today, what they can do to get things moving in the right direction? Because I do think there's opportunities right now, but I don't know if people know how to get from point A to point B.
Well, I do think you need to look at each other, especially people that love each other, and you need to ask sincerely, are you prepared to do this? Because this is a challenging way of life. And if you don't embrace the challenges of life, and especially if you don't embrace doing it together, then this thing's probably going to be a tough road. So I think where we get in with a lot of our clients, especially our young clients, is they want to overthink this thing. They want to move towards the exciting. They want to move towards, you know, things that maybe aren't at their fingertips yet. And really, it's really marketing 101. It's having a product that nobody else has that you can, within your means, grow to a level that is, you know, and I've talked to you a lot of this about, is the pipeline is full. Is you leave yourself options. If you feel like you need to sell it, you can sell it. If you feel like, you know what, things are pretty good right now, cash flow is pretty good, I can hold it. Because best thing about top-end genetics, the longer you keep them, the better it'll get. I tell people all the time, if you're 85% correct on genetics, pretty good margin. That's pretty good basis by which if you were to keep it for a while, that it'll perform for you. So having something nobody else has and having marketing options in order to manage cash flow. My world is all about cash flow. And I think that's what I try and put forward to clients. And then I'm there a lot, just like I did with you and Tyler, is to give that little nudge when the apprehension to put your product in front of the market is there. Because I've met a lot of people, Amanda, shoot, I was one of them at one time that didn't have the confidence and would talk themselves out of doing it. Mm-hmm. And you just, the moment you talk yourself out of doing it, you know, life becomes pretty easy to talk yourself out of doing stuff. What I've seen in a lot of sales, and especially when your sale was, it was widely accepted, you know, even above what I thought it was going to be. And I thought it was great, just like I have for a lot of our clients when you get done with it. And it was a great market to get into too.
So. Yeah. Well, and I think just for full disclosure, the fact that your advice started with marriage first and like a husband and wife working together. Yeah. It's not glamorous when we were AI and cows last night and running around in the mud, because what a blessing we got rain, but then it comes with, you know, husband and wife pushing cattle up in the mess, and it's not always glamorous. But yeah, I'll never forget our first bull sale, negative 12 degrees. I'm pretty sure Tyler and I were losing our minds with nerves.
Yes, you were.
That's an understatement, probably. But I think that also highlights the importance of surrounding yourself with really good people who believe in you, who have provided good advice, because iron sharpens iron. And that day, you and Wes and Cody being around to help us with that, it did. And then having a barn full of people, even though it was a cold, cold day, it highlighted, you know, it's the relationships you build. It's the network that you build. And right now, I guess you say this often too, the cattle industry is poised the way it is for all the wrong reasons, because of political reasons, but the opportunities are ripe as well.
It's great, Amanda. I mean, just a kind of a capper on the season. It's here to stay. You know, this cow herd is going down, which, you know, a lot of people, you know, they say, oh boy, the cows are going down. Well, it's a good thing, you know, for the people that survive. When there's less of the good ones, the value goes up. And that is to reward the people that stay. So, you know, and I think as you look at America, the work ethic and just the options that other people have not to work 7 days a week, not to, you know, have to work Friday afternoons, you know, have to be around cows, and really the physical application of our way of life is not attractive anymore to a lot of people. You know, you got a lot of 65-year-old ranchers that are selling their cows out top of the market, and that's just their, you know, that's their goal. So I still think the cow herd's going down. I don't know when it'll come back. It's going to be a while. Might be a long time. Might never get back to where we thought it was, just because of, you know, where mankind has gotten to on facing challenges. So,
right.
I don't want to be a downer at all on the market. I mean, it is absolutely amazing out there, and it's going to continue to stay that way for the people that have positioned themselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
At Radke Land and Cattle, we proudly use Advanced Ag Products BioReg Plus. With its proprietary coating technology for slow release of essential oils in the lower GI tract, BioReg Plus products are designed and proven to help beef producers with overall performance, feed intake, gut integrity, nutritional support, immunity, fertility, and reproductive health. With the rising cost of beef cattle production today, having optimal performance and minimizing health challenges in every head counts. Learn more at bioreg.com and tell them Amanda sent you.
The Heart of Rural America is presented to you by CK6 Consulting Services. I have the great pleasure of working alongside the CK6 team, including Chris Earle, Wes Tiemann, and Cody Fleeman, and it's an honor to assist cattle producers as they strive to meet their business goals. With a purebred Angus specialization, we have a full slate of auction sales coming up as we work to maximize price discovery and capture true value for our clients and customers. Plus, let us help you identify your next herd sire for the upcoming breeding season. At CK6 Source, you'll find great customer service, fast shipping, and a focus on leading Angus genetics. Learn more about what we do at ck6consulting.com and ck6source.com. We would love to assist you any way we can. God bless.
I was at a political rally this week. The gentleman on stage was talking about, you know, the importance of the free market and capitalism and creating new pathways for farm and ranch families to thrive. And I instantly was just kind of thinking about the work that we've had the great blessing to do together, not only on the genetic side with CK6, but, in this venture with Bid on Beef. Chris, we are coming up on the 1 year anniversary of the launch of our auction platform, Bid on Beef. We have sold to 49 of the 50 states in the union. So we're really rooting on Alaska to finally win a bid on some beef. But let's talk about that, because that has opened up a new pathway of profitability for producers. Just speak to kind of the success of this platform so far and maybe what's ahead in year two.
We're at it every day, Amanda. So this thing has really taken over a portion of our lives, because a new concept that, you know, has the challenges of the market and new people we're working with and that kind of thing. So, you know, we're just trying to stay in front of this thing. Even at this point, you know, I think we're pushing somewhere, you know, 3,000 credit cards logged in our system since June 1. We've got a goal of 10,000 by the end of the year. We're going to do a national ad campaign that's going to come up through the summer to really push it to a new level. But really, it, you know, as I was looking, you know, I've got a problem of looking at things from a, you know, a huge perspective. So when you're looking at the market and you're looking at four packers that own only 85% of the processed beef, and you really know the challenges that throws all the way down, even through the commercial cow-calf guy, you're like, how can you rectify this? I just got tired of thinking about that. So I said, you know what? What can I do to help the people that are closest to me? And what are the things that we can do to bring it right back to the people that we work with? And that's where the concept of marketing beef through an auction process came about. I don't think it's a fix by any way, Amanda. I don't think, you know, I just think it's an entrepreneurial effort that's helping good people get paid from the plate back to them. And to be frank, I don't want to cap it. I have no idea where it can go to. We're going to keep up with it. We're going to push it and see. I guarantee you that. We're going to push it and see where it can go. But I think as it relates to the platform, just only not even a year in, we're already seeing competitiveness on the calendar. We're already seeing a large group of customers that are moving from operation to operation, sampling and then finding the ones that they like. And we're still seeing the concept, you know, what are we seeing a week? I mean, I think we're gaining about 100 signups a week. And, you know, I think just watching people just enthralled with the concept of being able to go on, access elite beef, have it to their doorstep in 48 hours. I just can't see where there's 300 million people that we can access, Amanda, where this just won't keep going.
Right. So I too have a frustration with the monopoly in the beef cattle industry. I think that's why we're losing 1,300 cow-calf producers a year. The game is rigged. The market is not always favorable to you. And I tell people, you know, there's no white knight coming to save you. I would love for Trump and Doge and the monopoly to be broken up and all of this corruption that exists in our industry to go away. But yet we know how politics works, especially at a federal level. Everything is slow. And if you're sitting around waiting for someone to be your hero, the hero is not coming. The hero is you. And so having an entrepreneurial mindset, being able to say, I know what I have. I know that beef is the highest quality protein source on planet Earth. I know that my beef here, raised in the USA on corn, is the most delicious, highly flavorful, marbled thing that nobody else in the world can do or duplicate. So let's start acting like it. It's not a commodity. This is an item that's highly coveted. And that's what we're seeing on the platform is people know, they want to know where their food comes from. They want to know the rancher that they're buying from. They expect excellence. They don't blink an eye about spending $100 on a steak on a Friday night, and they're willing to compete for it. And they want to win this beef. And so it's been exciting not only to see dollars coming back to rural America, to these great ranching families, but also to see people really take ownership in the food that they're buying. Like, yes, that's what I want, and I will not lose out on that. And I guess maybe, Chris, would it now be a good time to tease? We have a new brand coming onto the platform. Our first auction is slated for May 20th, but this one's going to kind of be a little bit different than anything else that's been presented on Bid on Beef so far.
You're the lead for it, Amanda. You speak for it. So you tell them what it's about. And, you know, it takes advantage of 33 years of myself in genetics. It's partnered with one of my closest and greatest friends that played in 6 Super Bowls. And he's highly competitive and highly moral and everything that I want out of one of my great friends. And then I think I've got the best rural advocate in America as my other partner, which is you. And so, you know, we brought the genetics, we brought the marketing, and we brought the passion and Don into beef. That's what we're going to do. I think it's a concept that, you know, as we looked at it, Amanda, and we were working on this concept with other people, we no doubt thought as this thing went that we have to be part of this, and we have to be one of our own clients, no different in the consulting world that we've got here. We're just excited to get it there. And we've got a great friend in Pineview, Angus, where, you know, it brings, I think, in Northeast Iowa, one of the premier high quality parts of the world for top end Angus beef is really our lead on genetics for the sourcing, which John and I and Tom have spent decades on developing. So we're just excited about it. So yeah, go ahead and tell them about the basics and where we're headed.
Yeah. So the brand is called All American Angus Beef. It is going to be, like Chris said, we're sourcing genetics from Pineview that really has been year after year, decades of genetic selection and pressure to make sure that this is the finest quality beef that we can possibly bring to the platform. We've partnered with the Meat House up in Andover, South Dakota to be our really state-of-the-art processor. And I really believe this partnership with Chris and Don Beebe and myself is forging together three people that are committed to faith and to family and a shared value system that really centers around getting people gathered around the dining room table and having meals together, creating memories together. And when you put a steak on the plate on top of it, I mean, that's about as good as it gets. And so that's what we want to bring to the platform. We're going to be selling every 2 weeks exclusively through Bid on Beef. And really, I think one of the greatest things about the platform is Chris is pretty passionate, if you didn't know, about competition. And so it is our sincere hope that we have recruited the very finest beef producers in the country that we can find, bringing Angus and Wagyu to the platform. And we want those producers to compete because competition makes every producer stronger and better. And we want to deliver the finest quality beef in America. When we say it's Angus, it is actually Angus. We're not diluting it down with Holsteins. This is the real deal Angus beef, and that's what we're bringing to the platform. You can find it at bidonbeef.com, coming to you May 20th. And of course, we have auctions happening every week on the platform. We're bringing more volume all the time. But man, those ribeyes and tenderloins go fast too. So you've got to be pretty fast clicking to bid and win.
Working cattle can be stressful at times, but the job is made so much easier with equipment that is safe, strong, and simply designed. I highly recommend Real Tough Livestock Equipment for all your working facility needs. We just installed the Deluxe Chute at Radke Land and Cattle, and it has been an absolute game changer as we run cows through our chute during AI season. It's durable and easy to use, and it's made to last a lifetime. Real Tough offers a wide range of products, including calving barns, panels, loading chutes, tubs, alleys, and portable working systems. Manufactured in the U.S. of A., Real Tough is family-owned and operated. Their commitment to helping farm and ranch families truly exemplifies what this show is all about. Learn more at realtough.com, that's T-U-F-F, and be sure to tell them Amanda sent you to receive an extra bonus with your order. Let's get you some iconic green Real Tough equipment headed your way. I promise you're going to love it. You guys know, as a beef girl, I take grilling very seriously around here. And I've been using Redmond Real Salt for over a decade to season my steaks and burgers. It's unrefined, ancient sea salt exactly as nature made it. It contains 60 plus naturally occurring trace minerals, and it truly brings out the best of the beef we raise at home on the ranch. This American family-owned business also focuses on livestock products. And at Radke Land and Cattle, we are proud to use the beneficial Redmond Real Salt minerals to get back to the basics and help our cattle improve fertility, immunity, and feed efficiency. It's natural, simple, and effective for people and livestock. Discover more at redmondagriculture.com and redmondlife.com and use code RADKE to save. Or contact a local dealer and mention my name for a special discount.
Kind of teased there a little bit about where I wanted to go next, which is you've been pretty vocal lately on an issue that's come out. Heard you on a podcast debating this topic, but just to kind of tee it up, recently, Angus Genetics Inc., alongside the Angus Foundation and other research partners in North America, Oceania, and Europe have announced the receipt of a $4.85 million research grant. That grant is looking at partnering with Bezos Earth Fund and the Global Methane Hub with a goal to reduce energy waste in livestock by targeting methane emissions and the natural variation that exists in herds. So Chris, this kind of raised an eyebrow with you, and I'm just going to kind of open it up. You as a lifelong Angus breeder, what is your thoughts on this partnership with AGI and the foundation and Jeff Bezos of all people?
So yeah, I mean, I think when I saw it, and I had a couple of people send it to me, but I think I first read it in Beef Magazine, and that was the first I've really heard of it. And you know, anything, frankly, and I'm not going to run from this, anything with climate change perks mm-hmm. my ears, because as I've spent, you know, most all my life in rural America chasing my faith to be the best person I can be, this climate thing that has come about in this country, frankly, just I don't agree with. And I think if you looked really deep in it, Amanda, it's about population mm-hmm. control and basically the survival of the breathing. And that is, you know, it seems like, and I think as you go even deeper into it, there's a lot of lack of faith in the people that are really driving this. And I think so as it gets in the upper echelons of this, I become very aware of the agendas, because the agendas are stark. Mm-hmm. And the agendas are really impacting, I think, rural people that, for the most part, are very faithful people. And I think, you know, as I think about this, and I think as I look, I'm sitting here looking across at these mountains that are sticking up next to me, and the wind that's blowing, and the birds that are flying, and all the stuff that I see, this stuff is absolutely uncontrollable. Absolutely. It's actually a mystery. It's actually something I can't even get my head around. That this little blue planet in the midst of universes and galaxies that is really here created to grow souls, not to grow cows, mm-hmm. not to grow trees. It's really here to grow souls, that they would somehow think the Almighty would put this thing in here that man would be able to destroy it and breaking it down to a cow. And so I think, like what happens on agendas a lot of time, I think the number one thing that's getting sold here is mm-hmm. they have made, you know, there's a lot of non-for-profits. There's a lot of people that have aligned themselves with the long arm of government that are selling mm-hmm. fear. And that's how they. And so as you look at this and you look at Mr. Bezos and this methane hub or whatever, I don't have to tell you what they are. If you've got Google, if you've got a computer, you can look them up and find everything they've ever said about a cow. Look what they've ever said about what they think people like us are doing to mm-hmm. the earth. So when I came across this, and I came across where University of Nebraska, who I had the debate with the other day, great guy, and then the American Angus Association, which I'm a member, you know, just by the start of it was a validation, you know, just by accepting the money, I thought was a validation mm-hmm. of what these people stand for. And that is a little bit what you went through, mm-hmm. Amanda, is property mm-hmm. rights become very uncomfortable. I mean, like it or not, these are my cows. This is people's land. This is something that is our property. We are not telling Mr. Bezos how to run his mm-hmm. company. We are telling this methane hub how they need to park their car when they pull into their cement mm-hmm. building. For some reason, they walk into the building and feel comfortable telling us what we mm-hmm. need to do. I don't believe, as a property rights advocate, I don't believe I got to listen mm-hmm. to them. And I sure wouldn't think as an association I would take their money. I mean, I've mulled this thing in my head a number of times, Amanda, and I've looked at their press statement. I just cannot find the benefit mm-hmm. here. I can't find for the member. I just cannot find it. If we go through all these trials and tests, the result is to limit cows. That is the result. Right. And no matter what the result is, my guess is Mr. Bezos and the methane hub will find from these results that cows should be limited. And like it or not, I think I need more. I got more bulls to sell, Amanda.
Yeah.
I need more cows. I need people with more cows. I don't need less cows, right. You know. And then to the public, you know, they always tell us, well, we need to be at the table. And I think this probably comes down through we need to be partaking this. We need to be at the table so we can answer the questions of the marketplace that comes and asks us as we're selling meat or selling stock, right? And so we get into that thing where it's the perception. We need to manage the perception of the customer. Well, I agree. So to throw in with Mr. Bezos and to let the customer know that even us ranchers think we have a pollutant running out in our green grass is not something that I really want the perception to be. Because I don't, to be honest with you, we talked about marketing a little while ago. I don't really care what the customer thinks. I care what the product is, because I know we got a really good product. We got a really good product. And I know as I travel 120,000 miles a year, because I know the facts here, the vast majority of people are taking tremendous care of their property, of their land, of their grass, of their cattle, of their communities, of the people that grow around them, their neighbors. We don't have to justify who we are, Amanda. If they want to ride in my pickup truck, I'll show them who we are. I'll show them who these people are. I'll show them what's important. People that don't need every last dollar. People that just love to wake up, face a challenge, and survive and bring a great market and bring a great product to town. Lastly, there is enough forces against us out here. We've all seen it. We don't need to introduce methane to it. And I think that's where it's at.
You mean you're not going to be buying Angus cattle based on their dollar methane score in 5 years, Chris?
So I was just saying, lastly, as we know the forces out here that are against us, and we've seen them to the tune of it's got a thousand of us leaving this business a year. And there's a lot of them, and they're still there. We've got a monopolized system that breaking all the way down through the cow market. There is no political will. There's no association will. There's no will out there. Grab hold of the elephant in the room, and that is that four people own 85%, and there is no contending bidder in rural America. There's no contending bidder. That's why we introduced Bid on Beef, by the way. It introduces a contending bidder. And
that's right.
So there is no contending bidder. To now go and start chasing the theory of methane in the atmosphere as possibly something that can limit the genetic selection tools and diversities of the producer and the breeder, I think is a bad decision. It's just a bad decision. I don't know how else even to say it. It is what it is. I'm one of these that believes if it barks and sounds like a dog, Amanda, it's a dog. And Jeff Bezos and the Methane Hub don't like cows. They don't like cows.
Right. So we're getting in bed with the enemy. I mean, really, negotiating with people that you'll never be green enough, for people that don't want you to exist at all, for people that hate human life, quite frankly. I just wanted to point out a few things that you said that stuck out to me. Number one, I agree. We are Christians. We are called not to lie. The basis of the whole climate change agenda is based on a lie, on the premise that if you want the most efficient thing in the planet, it means there is no cow. Like in their mind, there's no cows and there's no people. Like you want to be net zero, we're dead. That's it. And so to me, going along with that agenda is anti-human. It goes against our faith, our morals. But more than that, too, admitting that it's all about this efficiency of a cow, we're at the lowest beef herd since the 60s. The cow is an efficient success story. I've been to Maxwell, New Mexico at Reverse Rockin' R Ranch where it never rains. And this Angus cow can convert what twig she can find into the most nutrient-dense powerhouse steak on planet Earth and 100-plus byproducts. She already is doing the job that God designed her to do. And then for the individual producer, what you said about the private property, which you, yes, that's a battle I've battled in here in South Dakota, but probably my whole career, because these animal rights extremists and these climate change freaks, literally, they don't care about the animal. They don't care about the planet, but they do care about controlling. They care about controlling your land, your livestock, your family, your profits. And the second the American cattle producer realizes that independent thought, your ability to move and operate as you see fit, that is a threat to a global machine. And the second you say, I'm not going to participate in that, you become the most powerful person in the country. Do not give up on that.
So that has leaked in. You're exactly right. I mean, so when you take a step back and see what is this really about and what it is really about, and I think it is liberties, right? And liberties have always been under assault since the beginning of time, and especially since Jesus Christ walked the earth and said that man is created with free will. And then just so happens they created a country in the United States that's based on free will. And at every turn, and even now through, you get through the long arm of government that now has affiliations with major corporations, and then you bring in efficiencies, which a lot of times can be followed quickly by greed, which can be followed by all these things. And anybody that ever has a dissenting voice, anybody that has an independent thought, is really cast as an outsider, you know, is really cast as a rebel, is really cast as, you know, a pot stirrer, you know, when really the country is based on entrepreneurs. There's nothing in the Constitution that says anything about the corporation. It's about the individual.
Right.
And that is founding to me. And that mm-hmm. is where our advocates, you know, our advocates that we align ourselves with just through our work life or a lot of things that we partake in, you know, those advocates in associations and those advocates, even in businesses that sell us services and that kind of thing, you would think that they would be more in favor of the individual and being entrepreneurs because that really grows your market. And mm-hmm. you don't have to ask me about that. You just take a look at rural America. When cows leave, businesses leave.
That's right.
At an unbelievable rate, communities leave. Less people in rural America. I mean, shoot, I can tell you right now, I got probably two services that I get here on the ranch. Without the ranch, Amanda, I don't think they survive.
Yeah.
I mean, I am that big of a player, you mm-hmm. know, with them. So, and there is for, and for me, there's no choice behind them. There's right. a lot of miles between my next choice on fuel, on corn, on these things,
right.
because there's not enough of us out here. And I think it's because independent thought, which when this happens is they squelch the margin. So the margins mm-hmm. get thin. The margins get thin in because everybody atop of the premium value is aligned in the top to take their part of that margin. It never goes to the producer.
And that's right.
Where our mind shift change has to be. And we need to align ourselves. We need to coordinate ourselves, not to get rid of our individual thought, but to coordinate ourselves behind our leverage. And I think
right.
that if we can somehow do that, boy, I cannot think of a better time in my 58 years of life than right now on a choice to prime steak. Be a great time.
Well, and I want to add one more thing that you had mentioned. You mentioned the corporations, and a common misconception we're hearing from these NGOs and these politicians and the guys like Jeff Bezos is the consumer is demanding this. I think we can, from an expert point of view now, with boxes and boxes of beef heading out the door through Bid on Beef, we have not once been asked about the climate benefits of the beef. We've been asked about flavor and how the cattle have been raised and nutrition and genetics. The consumer is not asking about climate-friendly beef, but the government, through subsidization and prioritization of corporate welfare, of
Bingo.
Running all of our tax dollars through a certain system in order to control us
Bingo.
Through sustainability, that is what's driving the market. And I know Chris and I are very much in lockstep on this. The government's gotten too big. Taxation and overtaxation and funneling it through these ridiculous programs is what is destroying this country. And
non-for-profit over the last 20 years has turned into for-profit. And mm-hmm. it's because, as we're seeing in Washington, D.C. right now, frankly, they know the buzzwords, they know the people, and they've obviously had a step to the Treasury building that have funded these things.
Mm-hmm.
And that has not been to the benefit of the people that are actually productive in this country. We make something, Amanda. Most of these people above us don't make something. And that is telling. So it's telling. So I think, and look, I'm not unaware to, there's great people above us that work in all these. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is our system has gotten to a point that the producer is tremendously threatened, that has now gotten to a point that it is stifling to the country,
mm-hmm.
especially in cattle. And if we don't do something quickly, and if our advocates don't find a way for young people that can enter this business, if our advocates don't do something about the free market, where if you got 10 cows or 2,000 cows, you get the same benefits, the same perks. If we don't start doing something about that, then it's going to be a real problem, maybe as short as 5 years on these numbers, a real problem. We got a guy in the White House right now. He doesn't like foreign stuff coming into this country. And that's been a lot of the hamburger that's been coming in and a lot of the stuff that, and you know, that's kind of got, might get a stranglehold on it. This beef's going to get high, and it should, because it's fantastic. But the American public better be wary, better be wary. We need better policy. We need better attention to the free market, of opening
yep.
with the excitement of a free market that brings people into the business. So
that's right. You know, just as we look at the state of this country, we get to choose, you know, we get to choose the country we want to live in, meaning where are you spending your dollars? Where are you prioritizing things? Are you using Amazon one-stop click shopping and having it delivered to your door? Or are you shopping from someone you know in your sphere? Are you keeping your economy of dollars with good people who have your values, who believe in this country, who are patriots? I think prioritizing that can shift things a lot. I also think, you know, some of these folks that are working for the associations and the corporations, it's been like a frog in boiling water. You've gotten comfortable, quite frankly, with a paycheck and the benefits and how comfortable things can be when you kind of go with an agenda. But I've talked to so many people and it's like they look away from the DEI and the climate change stuff and all of these agendas. And you have to start asking yourself, is this the direction I want to help move the country toward? I really believe when good men stand up and say, I'm not going to go along with this agenda, the nonsense stops. But until good men and women do that, we're going to continue down this path where we think partnering with Jeff Bezos to improve the beef industry is a good idea. And I guess my closing thoughts, then I'll open it up to you, Chris, as we run out of time for today's show is, I guess I would want to ask the association. I'd want to ask the Angus guys that voted on this. Tell me how you think this keeps family farms on the land and in the cattle business. How does this keep folks in rural America? And if you can answer that to me honestly, maybe I'll think it's a good idea. But it sounds to me like we're working toward knocking off a lot more families so that just a few big players remained at the end of that. And I don't want to be any part of that.
Yeah, and that's why I thought about it a lot, man. I just can't find it, to be frank. I mean, I just can't find the good in this. Secondly, I mean, there's only one, you know, people talk about level the playing field. They do it a lot in genetics. They do it a lot. The association, I think, does that a lot and talks about that a lot. There's only one thing I want level the playing field in, and that's my rights. That's the only level playing field I want. I want the market to be as diverse and as uneven as possible. That brings the emphasis back to the people. It brings it back to the entrepreneur. And I think so introducing, even if this is about, this is such a long chase on the efficiency and how to measure this. And for me, it might be important to some people. I'm not saying it's not. For Chris Earle, I don't believe in the methane effects on the country. Maybe people do. But I'm just saying this is another venture that would be a limiting factor. I'm going to my marketing world now in genetics. This is going to be a limiting factor by which you can market outside of it. And I think that some of these efforts, I know might appease academia. I know might appease geneticists. It's not the best for the producer. It's not. It's best for the producer is that you serve him to raise his cow herd the way he wants, the way he does, and let the market figure him out. Let the market figure him out and say, you do a heck of a job, but let's not try and make one of these cows all the same, because then it's purchasable by corporations that come in and just try and own it. And look, I'm not opposed to corporate corporations. I am opposed to bigger, sweeter deals that they get compared to large family farms, small family farms, people that try and do it, you know, in the free market world that's left anyway, and have to really compete against them, you know. So I just want a free market. I want a level playing field on rights. That's what I'd like. So,
well, on that, I know this was a great shot in the arm of energy and passion and just excitement about, like, go out there, tell your story, market what you got, use your leverage, and optimism is abundant. But we're going to continue on this show and with the work I get to do with CK6 and Bid on Beef and the many projects Chris and I have running. We're going to keep speaking the truth. We're going to pay the cost for that truth. And ultimately, we're going to stick up for the individual. We're not a collective here. The individual is what matters. That's how God intended it to me. We're all made in the image of God. And with that, Chris, it goes too fast. It always does when you're on the show. So we're going to have you back on soon. But I'd like to remind you guys, it is breeding season. If you're looking for some great Angus genetics to use in your cows this spring, go check out ck6source.com. I'd also invite you to check out bidonbeef.com for our weekly beef auctions. And of course, you can follow Chris at CK6, Bid on Beef, and his personal platform. He's always got great, encouraging messages to share. So with that, we'll see you soon, Chris, and we'll see you next week on the Heart of Rural America. Take care.
God bless you.
While I've got you here, I would love to invite you to check out my website, AmandaRadke.com. Each week, I share my column, this podcast, and new items to shop for farm and ranch families, including my children's books that celebrate agriculture. Use code DUSTYTRAIL to save 15% on your next purchase. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for supporting my small business and for your continued support in keeping me on the road fighting for farm and ranch families. I'm thankful to each and every one of you who tune into this show each week. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so be sure to subscribe, share, and leave a review to let me know how you're liking the content and our guests. Until the next time we meet on the Dusty Trail, I'm Amanda Radke, and this is the heart of rural America.